Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 104. And I hope you got a chance to listen to Episode 103 with Dave T. We really didn't think we were going to be able to get him on for the draft. Dave couldn't get hold of him, and finally we were able to sort things out Monday. Unfortunately for me, I didn't get to participate because Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert had their pre-draft press conference at the same time. But Alex and Dave did a great job, and tons of people have listened to that. So if you haven't, make sure you circle back and have some fun with that before the draft starts on Thursday night. Some great stuff there. And just to lay out our schedule here for what we're going to do draft week, one of the favorite things we did last year is if you recall, I was in California for a family wedding. And Saturday morning, Dave and I sat down after I'd had a chance to peruse everything from the day before and get the cobwebs cleared out, and had about a two-hour draft conversation, just kind of riffing on every team and, you know, not too in-depth, just kind of first thoughts on everything. So our schedule this week is we will do something Friday morning. I don't know if we'll get more than 30 minutes in just talking about the first round and the Steeler pick. We'll do that. And Dave and I will have an extended podcast Saturday morning. So we'll have that going. And then probably sometime Sunday, Dave and Alex will probably wrap things up. We'll see how that goes. And Dave and I will be back Monday and just kind of, you know, overview the whole thing. So plenty of content. I hope you have a chance to keep up with it, but we'll keep putting it out there and hopefully you'll keep listening. Dave?
Boy,
any thoughts?
Football. Hey, it feels like a right slap dab in the middle of the season right now. I mean, all this news coming out, content flowing up, the draft getting underway, like pigs in slop right now. Boy, that Dave T interview on Monday, David, you've been there, you've sat in the chair for those. You throw out one name, you get six back, and you know, it's amazing for, you know, Dave T. really, I guess if you ask Joe Blow on the street, they obviously wouldn't know who Dave T. is, but it seems like now if you ask most Steelers fans, and I guess pretty much thanks to us, you know, having Dave T. on over the years and all, a lot of people like Dave T. I guess it's his style, his ability just to recall and throw players at you, you know, right and left. I'm not sure what it is, but that podcast is always a hit every year.
I'll tell you, Dave. Yeah. I have a friend who listens religiously to the podcast during the season and selectively, if at all, in the off season. And I shamed him for that, but he said he does not miss that podcast. And he texted me on Monday night and said he is listening to Dave T. So there you have it. I think that says all you need to know.
Absolutely. And look, we'll keep trying to have Dave T on moving forward. And that's the type of podcast for sure. If you listen to it once, it's probably not enough. You probably need to go back. I had to go back and re-listen to some things for sure. And I think that might have been Alex's first time sitting in the chair with Dave.
Yeah, it's the first one I've missed. So, you know, sometimes it's nice to just be on the receiving end of Dave and just you know, have the earbuds in and not be involved because it's all over the place.
But, yeah, it's like getting kicked in the teeth for 45 minutes.
All right, so we got a ton of stuff to get to, but Dave, I just wanted to give you and Alex and the other guys on the site props because as we were talking before we got on the air, look, one of the things is we try to do a great job of covering the draft. And for me, with the radio show, this time of year, I've got to figure out how to allocate my time with the start of baseball season, with playoff hockey, and, you know, everything else that's going on. And I just don't have the, you know, the 100 hours to sit and watch tape or the 1,000 hours, as the case may be. You know, you got 200 guys to look at. If you want to watch a couple games, it's, you know, you think about, you if you spent 3 hours on a guy, and some people spend a lot more than that. You know, you can get up 600-700 hours, and people, you know, can figure out how much time that takes. Well, you know, I pick 20 guys and maybe watch, you know, 20 minutes of each guy, and, you know, put 10 hours in there. But it's and try to read as much as I can on the site. You guys have done an awesome job of putting everything together and doing the player profiles, and just, you know, it feels like it's a lifesaver for guys like me, and I'm sure, you know, as our listeners know, for them to, if they want to get in-depth analysis and know a lot about these players, but most of whom they won't ever think about again, they have that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's a perfect time too for me to really, really say thank you to my guys who really put in a lot of effort during the off season here. It really makes my job a lot easier, and you know, not only the job that you do on the podcast and all. I mean, Alex Cazor really a big factor in what we do at Steelers Depot. Matthew Marksey has been with me. Geez, I was just trying to look back when I brought him on. Everybody wakes up to Matthew Marksey every morning. I mean, leads off the site with four or five articles. Also, guys contributing this this offseason for us: Josh Carney, Andrew Miley, Daniel Valente, Sean McCavney, all these guys. Just and Michael Reynolds, you know, a guy that writes these Steelers spin articles for us. Phenomenal job as well. And you know, I know I'm missing David, you know, another David who's added content to the site as well too, and probably a few others over the last couple months. So let me take my hat off and hand it to them, as Heinz Ward would like to say, because look, without those guys, Steelers Depot certainly wouldn't be what it is today.
Okay, let's get to it, Dave, and let's start maybe in terms of significance. And you know, we sat down you were talking to Dave T. I was listening to Kevin and Mike, and the very first question I asked them was about Martavis Bryant. And Kevin just said, you know, until we know more, until he's here, he's not here. And we'll go forward with that thought. And fortunately, I think for Steeler fans and for Martavis Bryant, obviously, the team, the Steelers got the news yesterday, and Martavis got the news that he's been reinstated by the league. There are certain terms and conditions that apply to all of this. They're just normal stuff, counseling, you know, continued drug testing. He has to comply with all those things that anybody who runs into, you know, problems with the law or with a league or an organization, you would expect the standard stuff. And this is what he's got. So my question, Dave, it's obviously significant that Martavis Bryant is back. A, how significant? B, how does that impact what the Steelers do the rest of the weekend?
Well, and we, you know, we kind of talked about this on your show yesterday, and unfortunately, about 5 minutes after we taped that interview, the news broke about Martavis Bryant. But you know, my thoughts all along, I have been planning for Martavis Bryant to be reinstated, and I think you have. I think probably 85 to probably 90%, maybe even higher, people maybe listening to this show have been planning on Martavis Bryant reinstated. Okay, he's been conditionally reinstated now. Barring him slipping up and doing any, you know, not following the rules, he's going to be reinstated by the start of the 2017, or fully reinstated by the start of the 2017 regular season. So with that said, here's the thing, and I think Kevin Colbert has kind of laid it out perfectly along with Art Rooney II all offseason, is, okay, you think you're going to get him back, but can he keep himself out of trouble? I mean, it's a very big unknown. It's easy for us to say, well, surely Martavis Bryant has learned his lesson by now, but players, look, it's hard for
Josh Gordon. Josh, you just got to look down the street at Josh Gordon.
Right, exactly.
And, yep. And I think it's also, you know, one of the things, Dave, not to jump in here, I don't, you know, we have come to the point societally where we kind of almost just dismiss marijuana as, you know, no big deal. And I'm not a physician. I can't tell you addiction issues about use of marijuana or alcohol, and obviously Josh Gordon. These are just sad cases. Blackman down in Jacksonville, they've had issues. And to think that it's definitely going to be smooth sailing with Martavis Bryant, that's awfully hopeful. As you say, we just don't know.
Right, and because of that, I think you have to – I don't think you can have long-term plans. And okay, let me take you down a wormhole here real quick, David. What happens if Martavis Bryant stays clean for the next 2 years?
And he puts up 1,600 yards and 12 touchdowns a year. I don't know. That is going to be the really the $50 million question, and I don't have an answer.
Okay, what if it is unbelievable numbers like that?
I think you have to go. I don't know what is voidable. What kind of language you can put in a contract that's voidable? But the reality is. The reality is, Martavis Bryant is going to have to live probably short-term deal to short-term deal here for at least I can't see somebody signing into a 5-year deal. Now, he has 2 good years and he carries himself and look, maybe I'll take it back. If he carries himself the way Le'Veon Bell has, and there is a real belief that he is a good person, then you can sign that 4-year deal. Otherwise, you can't do it. I think Le'Veon Bell, maybe the circumstances obviously aren't the same and not as extreme, but I really don't think the Steelers have a concern that Le'Veon Bell is going to screw up again. They're obviously not in that place. They're not close to that place yet with Martavis Bryant.
Okay, here's where I'm going with this, David. His contract told last year, all right? So now he's under contract for 2017 and 2018, right? He's gone after 2018, right?
Yeah, if I were betting today, I'd put it at 85-15, yes.
Okay. I'm right there with you. I mean, he really – I mean, look at Plaxico Burress. I mean, they never kept – they didn't keep him. They let him walk. And in other words, I guess what I'm getting at is if Martavis Bryant blows up –
Antonio Holmes, Plaxico Burress, we've seen it.
Right. If those guys blow up, they're going to get paid, right? So, and the Steelers already have one guy that they're paying, and Antonio Bryant. I took you down this rabbit hole now, wormhole. Now I'm going to bring you back up for air. What I'm getting at is, I think you have to plan for Martavis Bryant to not be with your team after the next 2 years. So,
yeah, right.
So with that said, I can see
you're drafting a receiver in the first 2 rounds next year.
Well. Maybe. I mean, I'm definitely drafting one this year in round 3, 4, or 5.
I'm on board with that. I'd rather it be 4 or 5. But if there's somebody, I look at that comp pick as a luxury pick, and almost whatever position they take is fine with me. You know, everybody's heard us talk ad nauseum about what we'd like to see them do at the top of the draft. So, look, they've had great success. This is another deep wide receiver draft. We can throw out names. The kid from North Carolina, guys who are projected third or fourth round who may be really helpful. The interesting thing is, I think, Dave, the position that has been focused on the most for people, not necessarily people associated with this podcast, but just people mocking the draft, after they go edge rusher and defensive back, wide receiver seems to be far and away the third position that people look at. And, I don't know if that's primarily because of the Martavis Bryant situation or something else, but, it's out there.
I think that's because when you count up the pre-draft visitors, David, I think a lot of that has to do with it. When you look at, the volume of the amount of wide receivers that this team brought in for pre-draft visits, usually, where there's smoke, there's fire when it comes to position groups, in a Steelers pre-draft visit. I'm going to read these names off for you. Kenny Golladay, Northern Illinois. Josh Reynolds, Texas A&M. Chris Godwin from nearby Penn State. Mac Hollins out of North Carolina.
That's the kid in the fourth round, if he's there.
I think Alex told me on the last show, 4-year captain that, or 4 or 5 year captain that guy was.
That's shocking that at a school like that, that's a power conference, that a guy that young could be a captain.
I believe that was Mac Hall. I'll have to double check that. I believe that's who he told me. And then Shelton Gibson out of West Virginia, another guy that if you're looking for a guy to maybe groom behind Antonio Brown, Shelton Gibson certainly fits that description as well, too. So I think that's why you're seeing, a lot of wide receivers being mocked, you know, different receivers being mocked to the Steelers and within the first three or four rounds as well. Now,
I got to say, I your point is right. I don't know that the national people mocking are looking at this. I don't think they're smart enough to be looking at the Steeler visits, but I think your point is well taken.
Yeah, in other words, you're thinking they just see someone like a Davis sitting on the board down there, you know, maybe at number 30 and saying, well, you know, because this guy fell, we'll give him to the Steelers.
Yeah, and Martavis Bryant during this whole time was a wild card.
Right, and look, I believe Kevin Colbert, you know, I guess we're going to start getting into what Colbert and Tomlin said the other day, but yeah, I kind of believe him and Tomlin saying, look, you know, plans haven't changed in regard to the receiver position. I think it's a lot related to kind of what I just said and what I said on your show yesterday is, look, you know, Sammy, who is Sammy Coates right now? Can he take it to the next level and be a serious, you know, 50, 60 catch guy? DeMarcus Ayers, yeah, he did some nice things late in the season last year. Who is he, though? Justin Hunter, I mean, does he really have a serious shot at making this team, and especially if Martavis Bryant stays clean? Darius Hayward-Bey, there's a, like it or not, even though we would probably gladly stack the current depth chart that the Steelers have at a wide receiver position up against any depth chart in the league when it comes to that position, especially since, you know, Martavis Bryant looks like he'll be back. There's a lot of question marks there, right?
Sure. And we've talked a lot about it. You know, there's not a – if Bryant's not there, it's a bunch of guys, really. That's all it is. It's Antonio Brown and a bunch of guys. So, you know, it makes sense to find a guy. And, it, you know, this conversation that we had last year at the start of the season, or that we had in March before Bryant was suspended, and then we had in July, and then we had at the end of the year about the receiver position, it's changed more than just about any other position. I mean, you know, we keep talking about edge rushers. We keep talking about the defensive backfield. But the thing that has been, you know, it has been in flux. You know, Eli Rogers was an unknown. Well, he had a pretty good season. You know, we didn't know, you know, DeMarcus Ayers, we didn't expect to see ever on the field. And he did some decent things. Sammy started great. He was awful. Hayward Bay's the special teams guy. I mean, you know, Kobe Hamilton's just a guy, but he made some big third down catches. You know, all these guys have their, you know, have their warts, but have their positives. But, you know, none of them are better than a number three receiver, or in Eli's case, a slot receiver. And I still, you know, have high hopes for him. But it has been an interesting, fascinating position for the Steelers, really, you know, ever since they made the decision to move on from Mike Wallace. I mean, you talk about A.B. and Sanders and, you know, the guy, and obviously Marcus Wheaton's kind of up and down, mostly down career from a third round pick, you know, fascinating. But there are lots of guys out there, and the Steelers have drafted pretty well at the position, and you know, expect more of the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think I'll be shocked if they don't take one this year. You know, wide receiver. I think you take one every year. And look, if there's one position the Steelers have had success at scouting and getting, you know, kind of third round on and later being able to develop as a wide receiver position. So keep them coming. And you know, maybe one that you get this year will prevent you from maybe drafting one early next year as well, too. So I'm all for it this year.
Okay. So let's, Mike and Kevin, in terms of other things that they discussed, it was interesting to hear them talk about how the game has changed and the drafting process has changed a little bit. The thing that was, I think, most intriguing to me, Dave, was that Kevin said that evaluating the outside linebacker position, the defensive end outside linebacker position, was the most, you know, excluding quarterback, was the most difficult position to evaluate, more difficult than cornerback. I'm not disagreeing or anything more than saying it was interesting to hear them say that. I hadn't thought a lot about it. I don't think that's the general consensus of people who evaluate college talent. I don't think they would pick that as the – I think they would tell you corner is more difficult than edge rusher. But, it, you know, what are your thoughts on them saying that?
I'm on board with it, David, to be honest with you, because you see a lot of these defensive ends that spend their time with their hand in the dirt. And their athletic numbers, their combine numbers might tell you one thing, but when it comes to actually getting on the field and being able to do some of the same things from a pass rushing standpoint, on your feet as opposed to with your hand in the dirt, it's a different animal. I think it really is. I mean, look at a guy like Jordan Willis, who several of us don't understand why this, you know, why the Steelers appear to have really snubbed him during the pre-draft process outside of, you know, after the Senior Bowl and after the Combine. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe guys like them, they really have a hard time projecting and taking a chance of saying, look, can this guy play on his feet? Can he drop into coverage? Can he rush the quarterback? How is he going to be able to look at and absorb the game while standing on his feet and viewing the game that way? Remember going back several years ago when Jason Worlds was drafted, there were some quotes along the same lines, I think, out of Keith Butler and a few of those other guys is, you know, this kid's got to get used to seeing the game at a whole different viewpoint. You know, so I'm on board with what they're saying about, you know, trying to how tough it is to kind of project some of these guys that have never played on their feet before as outside, you know, 3-4 outside linebackers. And I buy what they're selling.
Okay. So I think just the whole, it was interesting to hear him, Mike, say, you know, he basically quoted the specs for Aaron Smith and Brett Kiesel, 6'6", 260, 270, and said, you know, those guys, you know, they're not around anymore, or it's different, and what we're looking for is a little bit different. Obviously, the Steelers have looked for, you know, defensively, they're scheming a bit differently than they did 10 years ago when those guys, their job, Kiesel and Smith, their job was to set the edge. They weren't really seen as pass rushers. They're, you know, they were too up front. Everybody's two gapping. And now it's different. I mean, Tuitt and Hayward are getting up the field. Their job is to also get to the quarterback. So all, you know, schematically and how the game has changed, looking for some different things in those areas. No updates on health on anybody. Ladarius Green, Senquez Golson, which Kevin repeated his comment about, you know, last year they felt like they got a freebie, a second round pick. And he said this year it's, you know, I think he didn't use this term, but I think it would be much more like a lottery ticket. You don't know what you have with a guy who hasn't played for 2 years and has a foot injury. I was surprised that he pointed out a defensive back with a foot injury is a dangerous thing. I think any guy with a foot injury is a dangerous thing. Maybe a little less for an offensive lineman or somebody, but, you know, all those guys didn't need to be able to move. So those things caught my attention as well.
Yeah, let me lay in. We talked about this, I think, a little bit on your show yesterday. Let me know if I have my tinfoil helmet chin strap on a little bit too tight here, David, on a Wednesday. It just seems like, and I'm probably reading, I love to read it way too much into things, especially this time of year, when Colbert, several times when he's been asked about the positional groups in this year's draft, he says, and this is what he said the other day, going through it, really, the numbers look the same by position. On offense, there are good numbers at wide receiver. The offensive line probably isn't as deep as it has been in recent years. The tight end numbers are up some over recent years. There are good numbers in the secondary. There are good numbers from the outside linebacker candidates. Decent numbers for the defensive line, which isn't unusual. I always try to take those and run with them and try to think, okay, what is Kevin Colbert really trying to tell us here? And in my opinion, he's trying to tell us, look, we're happy with the, even though it's hard to judge these outside linebackers, we're very, very happy with the depth of them this year. In other words, Steelers Nation, be prepared for us not to take one in the first round. The same with secondary. This is a deep secondary class. We're happy with guys that we can get in either second, third, fourth round, right around in there. So we're just saying, we're not saying that we're not going to draft an edge rusher or defensive back in the first round.
They're gonna though. That's it. So yes, I think the tinfoil is a little tight on that one.
Okay, what kind of odds would you give me of it not being an edge rusher or a defensive back? And I'm opening myself to the defensive back being a safety or a cornerback. Okay, so
I'd give you for my dollar, I'd give you three.
man, that's all the odds I can get on that when all the talk's been defensive.
Okay, I'll give you five, because that's what I think are the right odds. But you had to negotiate.
Remind me not to ever let you be my man. give me $100 on. I'm sorry. Give me. We're recording this. Give me 100 units. On, give me 100 units on the outside on a different position.
Okay, noted. 100 units gets you 500 units. I got it.
All right, good deal.
Okay, so other stuff. I'm trying to remember. You guys went through this pretty tooth and comb on the site. You know, quarterbacks again. And I think we all agree to this. The fact, you know, Kevin opened by talking about the uncertainty in this draft is bigger than in any draft of any recent memory, because the quarterback position is by far the most important position, which he reiterated. And there's such uncertainty about how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. And Kevin said he expected to see a lot of movement, a lot of trading going on. And this brings me to my big point that I've talked myself into in this draft, is that I think for Steeler fans, obviously there is a mentality that you want to see a lot of quarterbacks taken in the first round so that guys drop to the Steelers who they might want to pick, because it's very, very unlikely that they would take a quarterback in the first round. Okay, two things. One is, who knows if Deshaun Kizer or Pat Mahomes is there, whether the Steelers would consider taking them. And Kevin talked about the board, and he said, and he, this was very interesting if you didn't hear it. He said, if we're there and it's our pick, and because they talked about mocking the draft and they go through the whole first round, and he said, obviously, if it's a cornerback and a quarterback and they're roughly even if the quarterback's a little bit ahead, we'd take the cornerback. But his point, I think the larger point was, if there's somebody who's number five on their board and for whatever reason, without character issues or whatever, they fell to the Steelers at 30 and it wasn't a position of need, if they were graded that much more superior to, you know, everybody else on the board, they would take him. So that leaves the question of now quarterbacks. The flip side of all the quarterbacks being taken is, if Mahomes or Kizer is there at 30, I'm not advocating the Steelers take either one, although it would make for a heck of an interesting week of discussion. I think there will be 10 phone calls to the Steelers. And unfortunately, I think there will be 10 phone calls to the Seahawks right in front of them, for guys wanting to move into the first round to get that fifth-year option, which is incredibly valuable and much more valuable at the quarterback position, because they make so much more money to have a fixed cost of $11, $12, $13 million rather than paying $25 5 years from now is really valuable. So I am talking myself into the fact that the Steelers are going to move back out of the first round in this Thursday night.
Boy, Kevin sure knew who his audience was the other day, right? Boy, we sure are open to drafting a quarterback, but you know what? We'll listen. We'll move down, because, you know, that fifth-year option, you know, I might not even be here in 5 years. So that fifth-year option might not doesn't mean a damn thing to me. But we're willing to take it. We want to make sure everybody knows we're willing to take a quarterback. But, hey, if the phone rings, we're going to answer it as well, too. In other words, same old SOS, right? What does that stand for? Same old, you know what. But in reality, David, and I forgot to say that Kevin sure did lay it on thick. You know, the great franchises, they've had a you know, plan in place. Joe Montana to Steve Young to from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we got a history lesson in there as well too. So really did paint that up nicely, I thought. I think in the end all, look, I'm not expecting them to draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't think you are either. I don't care if Mahomes is there or not. Okay, maybe Mahomes. But I'm not buying this crap about Deshaun Kizer or nobody else. So, yeah, if you're sitting there at 30 and there's four or five guys on the board there that really you had circled all along, that you know you could get one of those four or five, and a team wants to come up out of the second round, from early in the second round, And then you pick up not only, you know, their second round pick, but who knows, another second or a third, however the draft trade chart tells you that it should shake out, then you're damn right I'm going to move down.
Yeah. I hope it happens. You know, you and I think there's tons of value. You know, I think the consensus is Myles Garrett is leaps and bounds ahead of the next 10 or 12 guys. Then that's the next tier. And then from maybe 15 or 20 to 60, the differentiation is somewhat limited. I mean, there are a lot of good players. And, you know, fortunately for the Steelers, the two positions that are maybe dearth, and this may continue going forward, this may be the start of a trend. They're not a ton of great offensive linemen or defensive linemen. And again, you know, how much of that is there just aren't that many big-bodied people in the world, the planet theory stuff, and how much of that is the college game is changing so much that the roles of those guys are different and the ones who do come out aren't, you know, they're projects rather than guys who are ready to be Joe Thomas and step in and dominate the pro game. So, yeah, I'll, you know, put me on the board for, you know, what kind of odds you give me on trade down? Will you give me 5, 10 to 1?
Completely out of the first round?
Well, if they trade down, there's only two spots behind them. So, yeah, completely out of the first round.
I'll give you 7 to 1.
All right, sign me up. Sign me up for 100 units at 7 to 1.
Are you trying to cancel out that bet of mine?
I'm trying to win. I'm going to win both sides.
You're trying to cover, huh?
They're going to take an edge rusher at number 5 in the second round, well, Derek Rivers.
What do we like to call that? You're middling me, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm going to. Well, yeah, exactly. Middle you. Okay. Anything else out of that that's worth talking about?
Damn you to hell. We haven't talked about Ryan Shazier. You know, not a huge shock. His 5th-year option got picked up, but
okay. Now, you know, you asked me this question a lot at the beginning of the year, and I was emphatic that this was going to be. And look, I know you're in favor of it and everything, but are you surprised? Are you more surprised that he was healthy all year, or are you surprised at the level that he played at, or neither?
I think he had to prove a lot of things last year. I think he needed to show he could play stay healthy for a stretch, and I think he needed to show that when he was on the field, he could play more consistent and be the guy that we've seen the flashes are. And I thought, and look, I mean, like it or not, David, he still missed some early games last year. Now he did close things out with playing 10. He played in 10 straight regular season games in all 3 playoff contests after missing 3 games early in the season with a knee injury. Now, let me ask you, you know, 3 games into the 2016 season, he had missed a lot of games, right? What was it, roughly half of the games that he was eligible for, he missed. So there had to be some concern there. And the question, it was warranted me asking the question, would you give him the 5th-year option, I think. And now, look, he stayed healthy. If he can continue to stay healthy, then obviously, look, by giving him this 5th-year option now, it's guaranteed for injury only between now and the start of the new league year next March. Okay, so it's only guaranteed from injury only. Of course, that's an injury, career ending, type injury there. $8.718 million is the 5th-year option in 2018. So let's say Shazier just, you know, goes the other direction this year. You can always, you know, you can always yank that thing. You know, I in so many words, and it's, bless you, and you still, even though they pick it up this 5th-year option on him, they're not locked in.
He's gonna be a Steeler. Unless something unforeseen happens,
That's where I'm going with this. You know, it's a precursor. Normally, these 5th-year options are precursors to long-term contracts being inked prior to the option year taking place. So, in other words, 1 year from now on this podcast, we're going to be talking about, when do we think Ryan Shazier's new deal is going to come? And I hope we are. I think the only way around that at this point is now, you know, serious injury or something happened with him where, you know, his play just really, really deteriorates. But, fifth-year option, they did that, you know, picked it up in plenty amount of time because that was due first week or two of May.
Okay, so I think that brings us up to speed. Now, Dave, the only other thing here is the roster is more than – I don't know what it's at. Is it at 85 or something like that? You know, we talked about this a month ago. You know, some teams only have 65 guys under contract, and they'll have their draft picks and their undrafted free agents, and they'll get to 90. The Steelers are in a little different spot. They were up near the top of the league, I think, in the low 80s. And so they're going to have 8 draft picks and probably 10 to 12 undrafted free agents. So they're going to have to cut guys. I would think there'll be some waiver wire transactions here for the Steelers in the next, 72 hours, right?
Yeah, you got 81 guys under contract right now, according to the NFLPA. So, you know, you have an off-season limit of 9. Now, with those 8 draft picks, you know, obviously, once you draft them, their base salaries count against the salary cap. But however, those numbers shouldn't be enough to affect the overall salary cap number. Now, once you start signing them, that's when, you know, the bonuses of course start counting all. So yeah, there's bound to be probably a couple guys, you know, looking for work here, you know, fairly soon.
Yeah. Okay. So what other pieces of information do we need to get into here?
What do you think about all this ESPN? We'll get into my mock draft, I think, here in just a minute to close out the show. What do you think about all these the ESPN jobs and all?
Well, you know, look, I've been fired. It sucks. I can empathize. I know it also, fortunately for me, and I hope for these guys, led to some different things that were great things in my life. I don't know if I'd be sitting here if everything had gone in one of my jobs the way, at least at the time, I had hoped it would. So, you know, make the best. There are a lot of guys, the hockey crew got kind of pretty decimated. I saw some of the football reporters lost jobs as well. The reality is two things, Dave. One is, I know everybody wants to spin this, that ESPN and their left-leaning bias is the reason that they have less viewers. I'm not really buying that. Maybe that's true for a couple people, but ESPN is largely sports focused. There may be a couple things that are in there, but I hardly notice them, and I'm paying attention. I think it's one, a lot of millennials, a lot of younger people, not just millennials, but a lot of people are unplugging from cable because of the cost and because they can consume things in so many other ways, including Twitter. And two is, their job of journalist and reporter has changed dramatically. Breaking stories used to be a big deal because it would be in the next day's paper and you scooped the other paper in town. You're the only one who had it, and so you made news. And that was true. 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and maybe even 5 years ago. Now, breaking news is incredibly insignificant. The only people who care are other media people because we all hear it instantaneously on Twitter, on the ticker, on the television. You know, when business isn't good, when there are other opportunities, you got to make hard decisions to streamline your business. And I'm sad to see any group of people lose their job. But we've known this was coming for a couple months, and I just have to say I'm not surprised. The role has changed, and the role of reporter has changed. And you know, we have hordes of people covering all these teams, including us doing it here, you know, essentially for free in this capacity. It is a tough market.
Let me ask you this, David. You work for obviously an ESPN station. That's where you get your paycheck.
Right. But I do, just so people know, I don't work for ESPN. I work for iHeartMedia. So we are a branded station, but I don't work for ESPN.
Okay. But it is branded and you're associated with it.
Correct.
Now, with that said, and you probably don't have to tiptoe around all this, how much ESPN do you watch, David?
How much do I watch?
I know you're a big Scott Van Pelt guy, right?
Yeah, although that time frame doesn't work for me at midnight. What I watch is the primary thing I watch is I'll catch a little Mike and Mike in the morning to see if I missed any national news stories, or they do have some good football guests. I love You know, I love when John Gruden's on. I love when I'm drawing a blank on the kid from Lewis Riddick is on. You know, they're guys that particularly during football season, I'll watch some more of that. And then I watch a bit of Russillo and Cannell, and I used to watch SVP and Cannell religiously because I am a big Scott fan, Pelt fan. But I don't watch much else other than games.
Right. In other words, if a game's on, you're watching. But outside of that, I'll be honest with you. With me, David, if a game's not on, or if it's not like a John, you know, special like a John Gruden quarterback camp or something seriously football related, I don't watch. I mean, look, I can tell you stories back when I was a kid. You know, you never miss SportsCenter, right?
Never.
You never miss Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann and you know, and those guys and Sunday Countdown, those kind of things. I could give two craps about it now, to be honest with you. So no,
because we can get the information so many other ways. So I don't think it's as much that the content sucks, although I don't know it'll ever be as funny as Patrick and Olbermann, as you pointed out. I just think it's the nature of consuming information is now completely different.
Right. In fact, it's better off to be someone like me that can regurgitate the information quicker than anybody else, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't have to be first. I just have to be sometimes maybe the first to the web. You know,
right. Exactly. Who cares who told the story? I'm getting it so that people can consume it.
Right. I mean, if you go on or whoever goes on Twitter and says so-and-so tore an ACL, I could probably have that up on my website as quick as almost any media outlet out there. So, you know, who's the big winner there? And I'm saying that I'm being forthright there. You know, a lot of, you know, look, we do a lot of analysis at Steelers Depot, but you know, we're not afraid to admit either that we regurgitate or however you want to say recapture the news and kind of modify it and add some cream on top of it, you know. But I can see where ESPN might be having a problem right now. Look, you're paying these millions of dollars for these TV contracts too, for these sports, and if you're not making it with advertisers on the other shows on the back end, you know what's the alternative?
Yeah. There's our media hour.
I think it was worth, you know, people are going to probably say don't ever talk about that crap again, but I think it was worth addressing. Let me tell you something else I think that's worth addressing. Where are you right now, David, on Gerrion Conley from Ohio State and Jabril Peppers from Michigan?
Man, I have to tell you something. The Gerrion Conley thing is just – it makes my skin crawl because – one of two things here. First of all, let's hope for everybody's sake that this didn't happen. And let's also hope for the accuser's sake that, you know, that she doesn't get railroaded because of the draft. These are incredibly difficult topics. And we've seen in the past some of these things with Jung Ho Kang. We had a situation. We don't ever know how, you know, that situation is going to hang out there. It's never going to get resolved. I think a lot of people are speculating she was paid off. She was Korean. She's, you know, now it's not a deal. I don't know. But for this kid, this is your absolute worst nightmare. Now, obviously, if something did happen on, for those who don't know, he's been accused of rape. He has not been arrested. The Cleveland Police Department is investigating the story. It is so rough because if he did it, well, throw the book at him. I mean, you know, sexual assault, rape, that's, you know, as bad as it gets, you know, if it's not murder. So we're all in agreement there. I'm not saying anything not everybody believes. The problem is if it didn't happen, how does he clear his name? This is going to impact him to potentially millions of dollars here. And how does that all get resolved in potential first round pick in 48 hours? It is as bad a story as you could possibly have.
I would agree. I was mentioning this to my wife. You know, what if, you know, we all hope that the report isn't true, and if it isn't true, and this is just, I guess for a lack of a better word, a gold digger, you know,
going after him, or someone being vindictive.
Well, or you know, vendetta. I mean, she's not going to get any money out of. Well, I guess she could get paid in the next. It just makes my skin crawl to think that too.
Right, and look, I don't want to make sure I'm careful walking a fine line here. I don't know what happened, and if indeed a rape happened, then you know that's absolutely horrible, and book needs to be thrown at him for sure. But look, it's tough on teams right now too. I mean, look, the most important thing is the woman and Gerrion Conley right now, and in their individual lives, depending on what happened. But you know, secondary to that, obviously with the draft down, you're right. How did teams get to the bottom of this so quickly, just days before the draft? I guess, in short, my question would be to you, David, is knowing what you know and don't know.
Off the board. Right. He's off the board.
Is he off the board?
He's off the board. And I just – it's tragic. Again, none of us know, but what happened with the kid from LSU, the guard that the Cowboys ended up taking or signing, Landon Collins? That's the defensive back from Alabama. What was the kid's name? Lavelle Collins. You remember he dropped? He didn't get drafted. Something had come out, and he ended up signing a free agent contract with the Cowboys. That was a big deal because he was a potential first round pick. And I can't remember what the story was that got him off the board, whether it was a broken foot or if it was a legal violation. We'll have to look it up. The other one last year.
You're talking about Lael Collins, and it was announced days before the draft that Louisiana State Police said that after a shooting death of a pregnant woman,
who he had
a previous relationship with.
Yeah, and he was somehow potentially connected to this, which was never – there was never any connection, but he fell out of the draft.
I think he got to the point too where he just told teams don't draft me, right? Because because
it would be better for him not to be drafted.
Exactly, had the shorter contract and all like that. So if Gerrion Conley drops out of the first 2-3 rounds now, he'd probably be best advised to tell teams, look, don't draft me. I want to pick where I go to. You know, after the fact, after my name's cleared and all like this. So, I mean, I think it's realistic now he falls out. I mean, there's a good chance he's off everybody's board, right? I mean,
people talk about this when each individual has to make a decision. And you'll see in like when there's voting and you have to pick a winner for an award, and people will go, you know, the number two guy will have a great year. But the number one guy will be unanimous, and they'll be like, oh, I can't believe, this guy didn't get a vote. Well, it's not everybody made the same decision that the other guy was better. It's not, oh, I can't believe one team won't keep him on the board. Every team's going to make the decision that I just made most likely and say you can't afford to be wrong on this. Now, if it's the fifth round, you know, maybe it's a different calculus, or maybe 48 hours from now we know a lot more. But I would – you know what I'd do, Dave? If I really like this guy, you're Pittsburgh, you got 40 guys sitting in that office, I might have somebody drive to the Cleveland police station and sit there for 36 hours. Have one of my, young quality control guys or something so that you know the news and if he was the guy you were really interested in.
Oh, yeah, you can bet teams have investigators there right now, finding out what's going on. Okay, Jabril Peppers, where you at on him real quick?
I mean, I've never had a strong feeling about Peppers being a guy for the Steelers. This stuff with both he and the other kid from Alabama. Reuben Foster. To me, it doesn't matter much. Davis, I know they go into the program if they fail at the combine, but I also heard somebody say, and I don't know if this is actually factually correct, that if they're clean for 180 days after that, they start fresh. Now, I have no idea if that's true or not. I don't know if that should be something that should be thought hard about. But I would want – everybody says Reuben Foster is a really articulate, interesting guy, and he did make the rounds at ESPN. So I think a lot of people got maybe on television got to see him. So this is when you hopefully met with these guys and can – and they say the same about Peppers too, by the way. So – I think the guy who's going to be in way more trouble than both those guys is Dalvin Cook, whose stock appears to be crashing because of character issues.
Here's from the Washington Post, from writer Des, what's his name? Des Beiler. Foster reportedly told teams that his diluted sample was a result of a frantic attempt to counteract dehydration before the combine after he came down with what he thought was food poisoning. Peppers and Foster are set to begin their NFL careers in the league's drug program. They will be discharged after 180 days if they cooperate with the guidelines and have no further violations in that time. Once again, that comes from the Washington Post.
Okay, that's a good, reliable source, so we'll go with that. So if both those guys are there, that would not be the reason I wouldn't pick them at 30.
Okay. I mean, you know, once again, you better research it and hope it's not pot, and, you know, that they're trying to cover up or mask something else or what have you.
So let's get to your mock, but I want to just do just a couple things here. I'm going to throw out a couple thoughts. I think the Browns are going to walk away with Garrett and Trubisky. I think they're going to trade up in the first round and get him. You know, the name that nobody has talked about in the last 4 or 5 days is Jimmy Garoppolo. So it would seem like he's going to stay in New England. Really, it's been crickets on him. I also think that we are going to see a shocking number of quarterbacks go in the first round, meaning 4 and a huge wild card on the possibility that Davis Webb goes at the end of the first round.
I would go with Boy, Kevin Colbert sure is unsure about these quarterbacks, right? Being the wild card here, I'll go with 4 quarterbacks. I mean, look, that teams are going to scramble and panic. I think somebody's going to go get one that probably don't need to go get one. So yeah, I'll go with the 4 there. I think the Browns would be absolutely silly not to take Garrett overall. Wow. I'm trying to think. You know, I was asked earlier, which guy do I think will pull an Andrew Billings this year? In other words, a guy that several of us think will go in the first round that falls, you know, 2 or 3 rounds. You care to take a stab at that? I mean,
What was the question? What falls 2 or 3 rounds?
You know, what guy is, you know, currently?
Lawson is the guy that seems to be – I'm not quite sure why. Other one
would... but is Lawson really, I mean, Dane Brugler had him as the 39th. I guess it's fair to consider Lawson as a guy that could end up maybe
in the third round. Tim Williams falls into the late second round.
Yeah, I suppose that's definitely possible there, I think, because he's
give me a number on Joe Mixon. Where's he go?
I think a team's going to take him in the second round, David. I think the talent. I think enough. Time gets away, and there's other there's other hot stories. You know, Garrett. Who knows? Joe Mixon might have to send a thank you card. You know, to Garrett Conley. You know, to have him replace him, kind of front page news and all like that. And even if he's innocent, kind of thing. And I'm not making light of that. You see where I'm going? But
Of course.
Time heals all wounds, right? And Mixon's the furthest thing from, you know, that incident, you know, really happened a
couple years ago at age 18. Yeah.
Right. So I think
I'm with you. I think he goes second round.
Right.
My big climber is Adoree Jackson goes higher than anybody thinks. Top 25.
And, you know, come to find out, David, I researched him. Cornell Lake was at his pro day.
I'm a huge Adoree Jackson fan. If they took him in the first round, you know, he's not as tall as some of the guys, but I'd be a fan.
Let's see. Sidney Jones, where does he go?
Late second. And again, I would be, if the Steelers took 2 injured guys, if they took Tack McKinley and Sidney Jones, I think it's a big win.
I think Sidney goes probably 3rd or 4th round. I think people will be a little bit freaked by that. Jake Butt, another guy we don't talk about because of the injury. Where does he go? 4th, 5th round?
Third or fourth, I think. I wouldn't take him. You know, Jake Butt's a great college player. I think he's going to be an average pro. I think he'll be an average starting pro tight end, which is, that's worthwhile. But I don't know that I'd pick him before the 4th round.
All right, time for you to start mocking me, David.
Okay, so let's go. So, you know, the process here, we try to, one of the things is guys put up their mocks, and who's going to be on the board is always the question. And we do our best to figure that out. And we always give the example of David DeCastro. People didn't think he'd be there, whatever it was, 24 or wherever, the 23, whatever the number was. Zeitler went right in front of him to Cincinnati. Who was the corner going to be if they took a corner last year? We see William Jackson go right before it to Cincinnati. And a lot of people thought if Jackson there, the Steelers would take him. So, you know, All this, everybody knows all this. All the mocks and all the talking we do is, you know, contingent on who's available at 30. And obviously the Steelers further down than they've been in a while. So give me the process of getting the names that you came up with.
Yeah, and really it came down to six for me, David, when it comes to the first round draft pick. When you put together where Kevin Colbert's been, the guys that check the boxes, all these things we like to kind of track. And thankfully, we've had Kevin Colbert around a long time that we've got a large selection of things to say, okay, this box is checked, character, blah, 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 pro day. Anyway, I narrowed it down to six names. I have Takaris McKinley. I have T.J. Watt. I have Jabril Peppers. I have Marlon Humphrey. I have Tre'Davious White. And I have the guy that I ultimately went with, David, Jared Davis, inside linebacker out of Florida. And let me tell you why I went that way. Kevin Colbert loves him some value. And if you can get potentially the second best inside linebacker, second or third, depending on what you want to think of Hassan Reddick, whether or not he's an edge guy or an inside guy. Kevin Colbert likes volume. I mean, likes value. Jared Davis would be that at 30th overall. He's got, you know, you look at the spark score with him, the measurables. This is a kid that did not go at the combine because of an ankle injury. He missed a lot of late last season because of an ankle injury as well, too. And that's probably got his draft stock down. At his pro day, where Kevin Colbert was, Jerry Olsofsky was, Davis blew it out of the park, and he kind of needed to show everybody that ankle was good and ready to go. You combine all that with me putting my tinfoil hat back on and saying the Steelers lost Lawrence Timmons during free agency. They made a run at Dante Hightower, and then after they missed out on Dante Hightower, they come back and say, oh, we're fine with Vince Williams, though. I'm not buying any of that. I think there's a need alongside Ryan Shazier, and I think if Jared Davis is on the board at 30th overall, it'd be mighty hard for Kevin Colbert to bypass that.
Very interesting thought. And, you know, we went through the guys. Is there a guy on the board that wasn't on your list because you're absolutely sure he'll be gone that you would take ahead of Davis?
Man, you know,
I mean, I'm not talking about obviously Myles Garrett, but you know, is there somebody up there?
I think David Njoku would be tough to pass up. David, really?
Would you consider Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, I would, but
I would too.
I mean,
he's going to be gone, but
we talked several times. What, you know, why are people, you know, so confused about McCaffrey? But,
right.
You know, that would be tough to bypass.
Would any of the receivers be any of the three, Ross Williams or the kid from, Central Michigan, what's his name? Corey Davis.
Man, I'd like to trade out of that pick if somebody was willing to come up and come get it then, you know, to be honest.
I agree. All three of those guys are going to be good players. I don't think those guys are necessarily – any of those guys are going to be Pro Bowl players.
I like Ross can – what Ross can do if he can stay healthy. And, look, Mike Williams is kind of a beastly guy, as is Corey Davis. But, I guess Corey Davis would be the one that you say, man, is this a guy that can put up 100 catch season year in, year out? Maybe he's the guy. But don't get me wrong, I like all three of those wide receivers we named. I just, you know, when it comes to the Steelers, I'd much rather sell that pick, you know. So, I think when it comes down to it, I think I'll be surprised if the pick's not Davis, McKinley, Watt, Jabril Peppers, Humphrey, or Tre'Davious White. To me, those guys really fit what the Steelers kind of look for, and they check a lot of boxes. Round two, Derek Rivers. I mean, it's not hard to connect those dots, right, David? You know, they paid him a lot of attention during the pre-draft process. They need an outside linebacker. Rivers had a tremendous spark score. I think he showed at the All-Star game that the small school concerns should be lowered. I think he will be on the board, you know, in the second round come time the Steelers pick. It makes all the sense in the world for Derek Rivers or Carl Lawson. For that matter, to be honest with you, Carl Lawson's on the board there because of his SEC background, because of the way he was able to get after the quarterback when healthy. I think Carl Lawson is a very legitimate option there if the Steelers need an edge rusher in round two. I think the things that have caused Lawson to, in my opinion, potentially fall out of the first round is those shorter arms, his play against the run, the injury kind of history there, the hip and the knee at Auburn. I think all of that's probably enough to force him into the second round. So I have them going.
I would jump off the table if they got him in the second round. I would even consider him in the first round, Dave.
Who, Carl Lawson or Rivers?
No, Rivers. Sorry, Rivers.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't hate him for it. I just think there's enough there, enough unknown about him. Look, I mean, I think he needs to put on a little bit of weight. 6 foot, almost 6 foot four, 248 pounds. I think he could use a little bulk, obviously some core strength. I think he's a guy that can come in and help your team situationally, as a pass rusher, at least initially as well, too. So, no, I wouldn't hate him if they took Rivers in the first round. I wouldn't hate him. Bless you. I wouldn't hate them if they took T.J. Watt in the first round either.
Right.
That kind of, you know me, David. Seven edge rushers and
the kid from Iowa.
Right, Kittle. Kittle, the kid from us. Sign me up. Round three, David. I don't know if you saw the study Alex Kozora did several weeks ago about things the Steelers look for when it comes to cornerbacks, and it's a metrics measurable type thing. Well, in so many words, Alex narrowed it down to two cornerbacks that really fit what the Steelers look for. One of them is Shaquille Griffin out of Central Florida. The other is Jalen Myrick, a real, shorter kid out of Minnesota. Well,
Who visited, torched the 428, whatever.
Right, I'll be damned. Myrick came in for a visit. We knew that thanks to Bob Labriola. And, David, I found out yesterday morning that Shaquille Griffin is one of those unknown unknown visitors that went unreported. And if there was one person in my mock draft, David, who I would bet would bet a lot of money to say, okay, if I only get one of these guys right, it's going to be this guy. I think it might be Shaquille Griffin, David, and I think the Steelers might be interested in even trading up for him in the third round should he fall that far. So keep an eye on that name. This guy played both safety spots early on in college. He played both corner positions. He played in the slot as well, too. A phenomenal character. You go read his backstory. Round three. Here's where the tomatoes come out at me. Joshua Dobbs.
So who was the – I don't have it up in front of me. Who was the second round? Oh, Rivers, right. Okay, right.
Right.
Got it.
Rivers and then Shaquille Griffin in round three. The compensatory pick in round three, Joshua Dobbs. I don't know where his value is right now, David. Is he a round five guy? Because of this run on quarterbacks, is he going to go in round three? Some people trying to push him into round two. I don't know where he ultimately falls, but I think if I had my choice between Dobbs and Brad Kaya, the two quarterbacks that the Steelers seem to pay the most interest to, I'd like to see Dobbs. So that's what that, I think it could be Dobbs or Kaya there. I chose Dobbs. I'd like to see, I think it'd be worth watching them play during the preseason, Round four, go back to another study that Alex Kozora did when it comes to wide receivers that the Steelers tend to be drawn to when it comes to metrics. And really, I think there were two main ones there. Kenny Golladay out of Northern Illinois and the other kid, I'm drawing a blank, out of Texas A&M that came in, Josh Reynolds. As it winds up, both those guys came in for visits. Dave T told us the other day that the Steelers sure have been active checking out Kenny Golladay. So he kind of twisted my arm, and I put the 6'4", 218-pound wide receiver as the Steelers' fourth-round selection. And to kind of quickly wrap this up, James Conner in round five.
I want the kid from Carolina there in that fourth round pick.
And he was an option of mine, Mac Hollins. So here's who I considered in that round: George Kittle, Josh Reynolds, Mac Hollins, Brian Allen, and tight end Jordan Leggett out of Clemson. There. Moving on to round five, I can't get past my love for James Conner, David. You know, how can you not root for this kid? And, you know, being as the Steelers really didn't bring in any other running backs, hey, why not James Conner in the fifth round? I admit that pick could go several different directions. Dante Foreman, another big back out of where? Texas is a guy that could interest the Steelers late as well, too. I rounded out my mock draft with a few names people should be familiar with. Javon C. Jones, a guy that, can he play on the edge? Can he play inside linebacker? Kid out of Jackson State. Who knows? Javon C. Jones might go undrafted, but Steelers sure seem to have interest in him. 6 foot one, 245 pounds, 334 total tackles. That included 21 sacks at Jackson State. Wouldn't be a bad six-round choice. And then in round seven, a safety the Steelers brought in for a pre-draft visit, Monte Nicholson out of Michigan State, who's currently overcoming shoulder surgery that he had, repair torn labrum on his left shoulder after the combine. This is a guy that I think has upside, would be a great seventh-round selection. You might not have him until training camp. Type of guy, a guy that you stash on the practice squad, a guy that can help you on special teams. So that's my mock draft there.
I like it. I like a lot of that. You know, I would sign up for that draft as a whole right now. So good stuff. The names, you know, I like the names that you had in the first round consideration. I'll just throw out one last time. I'm going to pick a Jacksonville mock draft for the Steelers here in about an hour. But Tack McKinley, if he's there, I would make that pick. If Rivers was there in the second round, I would still think about making that pick as well, even if they took McKinley, because of what we've talked about with depth at corners. You know, if they went edge, I'd be fine with it. If they go corner, edge, you know, all that stuff. Just to me, just get those two positions in the first two rounds. You know, I'm not going to even pretend to say that I can evaluate anything as close as, you know, the guys making the actual picks. So, you know, in Kevin we trust. But get those two positions in the first two rounds and then, you know, have at it in the third round with a running back or whatever you see. And then, like you, that I hope they don't go quarterback. But, you know, if it were Kaya or Dobbs or if for some reason Peterman fell, I don't know, all of that will make for – and we're going to have plenty to talk about come Saturday.
Who do you think's the pick, McKinley?
I think if McKinley's there, he's the pick. Yeah. I don't think he'll be there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, and that's where I had trouble too. Did the Colts take him at 15? You know, look, you better make sure your medicals are right on him with that shoulder and all. But great character, definitely put up the numbers at UCLA. Your buddy, Tom Bradley, right?
Yeah. Tom, you know, I've had some conversations. He's a great kid. He's a tough background.
I know what you're rooting for. You're rooting for Tekaris McKinley so you can get Tom Bradley on ESPN 970 to have a nice 30-minute conversation and
pull. We'll have Tack McKinley on is who I'm going to have for 30 minutes.
Right. You're going to have Tom Bradley on too. You'll be owned the ratings. Exactly. Own the ratings right there, but
exactly. I got I'm inside on UCLA defense.
I hear you.
Get Fabian Moreau in the second round, we're good.
Yeah, absolutely. People be coming to you at that point. Okay, David, did we miss anything? What a great tremendous pre-draft process this was. Again, thanks for everybody that visited the site. The listener numbers on the Terrible Podcast this offseason have just been off the hook. Thank you thank you for that as well, too. You don't know how much we appreciate that. David, I look forward to talking to you on bright and early Friday morning, us discussing the Steelers' first-round pick. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Look on Steelers Depot today for contest, both the regular contest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's throw that in there. We got to get that contest. Send us 40 names. The last eight better be in order because that'll be the tiebreaker, right? Isn't that how we're doing it?
Yeah, something like that. What we're looking for is you to send us 40 names of, and you're trying to hit all 32 pick, you know, the first 32 picks in those 40 names. And as a side note, we'll use as a tiebreaker your final eight. You know, need to be in order there. So regardless, I think I have a few books from Scott Brown, David, that, you know, maybe we'll use one of those to give to the winner this time around. You can send those entries to theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you put draft contest in there so we know what to look for, and send us those list of 40 names there as well. And if David ever writes a book, you'll get a copy of that.
Yeah, right. And you definitely get our Steelers Depot T-shirt, which, you know, that's going to be our next hot and heavy seller. We're going to screen about 1,000 of those.
You know what we need to do though, David?
Terrible Podcast.
We need to honestly, we need a headshot for an autographed headshot photo of yours to give away just systematically all the time. It would be
with you photobombing me.
yeah, you better come to Vegas.
Shooting up.
All right, folks, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, we've had a few donations lately. We certainly do appreciate those. Go to SteelersDepot.com. Find that donate button upper right navigational bar. This was a long show, Dave, but I think it was worth it. Good talking to you today, and we'll get back after on Friday.
We will, and I'll enjoy Thursday night. Remember, I'll be on air starting at 10 o'clock. You can listen through the iHeartRadio app. We'll have Kevin on after the pick. We'll have the position coach on after the pick. Hopefully, you know, we may have it for you before it's on television. So if you want that or don't want that, send me an email and let me know whether that's the way you want us to go, having the picks early or not. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.